All right. Well, we're going to be stepping away from our series in Acts this morning and jumping over to, you'll probably never guess where, Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31 here this morning. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, as you're turning there, I'd like to take a moment to again just, number one, thank, but also recognize our mothers here this morning. And so if you are a mom, thank you. First off, thank you so much for the investment that you have put into the lives of your children. We wouldn't be here without you. And that's not an understatement. So I do want to recognize a few moms here. I got four particular moms. I don't know who they are yet, but we're going to find out who they are. We want to give a special extra gift to you here this morning. So before we get started with the message, which mother here today has drank the most coffee this morning and that wants to admit to it? All right. Do we have any moms who like to drink coffee? Let's start with that. All right. We got a few. There we go. We're starting to warm up to it a little bit. All right. All right. Have any of you moms had more than one cup of coffee this morning? Okay. What about two cups? We got a husband vouching for his wife right now. And an energy, okay, all right. Three cups of coffee. Any moms this morning? Okay, down to, so two coffees. How big are your cups, Miss Ashley, if you don't mind my asking? A mason jar? So like you've had two pots of coffee that count as one cup? So you could say four cups of coffee.
Yeah, there you go.
I have four cups of coffee. Can I get five? Can I get five cups of coffee? Yeah. Miss Sarah, can you top four cups over there? Three? Okay. All right. Miss Ashley, I think you take the cake for the coffee this morning. And so we'd like to give you a special rose. My wife is bringing it over here right now. So all right. But let's bring it in a little bit more serious now. We got some of the sillies out. What about the mom who has most recently read the Bible to their child or grandchild here? All right. So we got a couple immediately going up. Miss Patricia, when did you last do that? This morning. Okay. Miss Mary? Two weeks. Okay. All right. So it looks like Miss Patricia is the earliest for this morning even. So congratulations, Miss Patricia. We got a rose for you as well. All right. Now the competition's heating up. What about the mom who has the most children? The most. All right. I've got four. My wife has four. So can anyone beat four? Okay, Miss Mary, how many you got? Five. We got five. Can I get six kids? Six kids. Can I get six kids anywhere? All right, Miss Mary, you looks like you have the most kids here. All right. And this one, husbands, you may need to answer because it's very possible your wife may not be in the room. But the mom with the youngest child, the newest mom, who has the youngest child? No volunteers? All right. 2 years old. 2 years old. Any parents with two-year-olds? Okay. Three-year-olds? Or younger. All right. Brad Tyler, how many?
Yeah, there we go.
How old's your little boy?
He'll be two next month.
All right. Brother Pat.
Barbara would say I am.
You? We can't argue with that. She's a very smart woman. All right, well, Brother Ty, we'll go ahead and give you and your wife, Virginia, a rose for having the youngest child here. So a little silly way to start this sermon, I know, but at the same time, I do believe it's important to recognize our moms. They do a very important job. There's no way to overstate that, and we are very thankful for you. So this morning, I'd like for us to consider a godly mother, so the life and also the value of a godly mother. So if you're there in Proverbs chapter 31, say amen.
Amen.
All right, looks like we're all there. So go ahead, stand with me if you would in honor of the reading of God's word. And we're going to read just verses 28 through 30 here this morning. Verse 28, Proverbs chapter 31 says this, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." And so again, here this morning, I'm looking forward to preaching on the topic of the godly mother and her value that she has. And so may God bless the reading of his word as you may be seated. Get into the message here this morning. So on this particular Mother's Day, I thought it would be appropriate and helpful maybe to share a few things that my own mama taught me. First off, my mama taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. Job well done. Thank you, Mom. My mama also taught me religion. You better pray that will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. Because I said so, that's why. And apparently I was a very thick-headed, not understanding young boy, because she thought it necessary to teach me logic again when she said, "If you fall out of that swing and break your neck, you are not going to the store with me." I love going to the store. I get candy. My mother, she taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. That got me in trouble too. My mother, she taught me about stamina. You will sit there until all of that spinach is finished. Stamina. But, you know, moms, as saintly and wonderful as they are, they're also not perfect, because my mother also taught me about hypocrisy. If I've told you once, I've told you a million times, don't exaggerate. She taught me about anticipation. Boy, you better wait till your father gets home. Oof, hated that one. And last of all, my mama taught me medical science. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. They haven't yet. Today, I'm going to be preaching about godly mothers and how a mom needs to ensure that she is following God with her own life and living in such a way that she can expect to use her life to teach and influence her own kids to live for God with their own lives. But for those of you who are not mothers, so men, obviously, and other ladies perhaps, this is not a free pass just to tune me out, okay? There is something in here that you can glean as well, so do pay as close attention as others. Raising up children is hard work. That was a wonderful opportunity for the parents to say amen. I'll say it again to give you that chance. Raising up children is hard work.
Amen.
Amen. But trying to raise up godly children, now that can be especially challenging. Because every person must decide for themselves whether or not they are to follow God. That's not something we can force on another person. And rightfully so. It is a decision each and every one of us must make. And there's no guaranteed formula that a parent can follow to ensure that their kids will follow them in the faith. Wait a minute, Pastor. What? There was that one proverb that talked about, I know what you're talking about. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That sounds pretty definitive statement. But you know, that proverb is a principle, not a promise. It's a principle, meaning it's not 100%. but there is a lot of truth in it. Especially if you start early and young. The younger you start, the easier it would be to raise a child up to love the Lord. Start young. Diligently and consistently train up your child to love God and to love others, and that will give your child the push, the metaphorical push in the right direction that they need to live a godly life themselves. So today, we're going to be taking a look at four different moms throughout the Bible. And all four of them were godly women, because why look at ungodly women for a Mother's Day sermon? That just doesn't seem right. So let's do this. Let's turn our eyes and our minds back in time to the Scriptures. And actually, let's do this. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Oops. We'll take a look at our first mom here. And we're going to learn about how a godly mother raises up a godly child. So just kind of follow along as I read 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 18 for us here real quick. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Wrong thing to say, husband, to your wife who's having a tough time with kids. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." And Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." And she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. So Hannah, she recognized a child for what it was, what it is, a gift from God. A child truly is a gift that God gives to a parent, to a family. She knew that it was completely in God's hands if and when she was to have a child. But you can see here in the text that she desired a child so badly that her prayers were prayed to God with such deep emotion. Now, we don't know why Hannah was barren up until this point in her life. Perhaps God was wanting to use her life situation as a testimony to his great power. Or maybe God was testing who it was that she loved more, God or a child. Or maybe that was just her lot in life due to the curse of sin in this world. We don't know why. We just know that she was. Now, in a room this size, I'm sure there is someone in here who would love to have a child, but for whatever reason, has been unable to so far. Just want to say, my wife and I have been there. We understand that. God has so graciously given us four beautiful children, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of those little miracles. Now, if struggling to get pregnant has been a problem for you, I'm not going to pretend that I know how it turns out. because I don't. But what I do know is that giving the situation to God and then leaving it in His hands is the most comforting thing that you can do. He knows how to best care for you. God answered Hannah's prayer. And then Hannah turned around and gave Samuel right back to God. Hannah understood that God had personally stepped in and changed her life circumstances in order for her to have a child. And to thank God and to honor her vow before Him, she in turn surrendered her son into the service of the Lord. You know, I can't help but think of a good way to look at the situation Hannah was in and how it can relate to us is consider fostering a child. The child doesn't belong to you. It's not your child, but yet you are in charge of making sure the child's taken care of. You're responsible for raising up that child as if it were your own. But the child never really truly belongs to you. But then, you know, when we have our own children, it's very easy to get into the mindset of, this is my child. You see the difference there. When in reality, we're the foster parents of God's child. Our biological children, they're really the Lord's. And we're responsible for raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That is our responsibility as parents. But wait a minute. Mothers, you could say, I birthed that child out. That child is mine. Well, God gave you that child, yes, but to be a steward, to raise that child up to love God and to love others. Our children really are not our own. And the sooner we recognize that and come to terms with that, the sooner and easier it will be to start really investing in your child and raising them up in a godly way. Hannah wanted the absolute best life for her miracle baby, as any loving mother would. And like any loving mother would do, she did what she could do to set him up for success. Hannah gave him to the Lord because she knew God would care for him better than she ever could. Now, parents, please understand this. Giving your child to God does not mean going and getting a lawyer and signing them over to the church. Please, I don't want your children. God gave them to you to raise up. But what that does mean is that you must be okay with whatever God decides to do with your child, even if that means sending your child to a place like China as a missionary, or to Iran, or to North Korea, or something dangerous that you're like, wait a minute, no, that could hurt my child. They could die over there. God knows what He's doing. We need to trust God to do what's best. Support your child as they follow the Lord in their own life. Don't fight them on it. Support them. Help them follow God with their life. Hannah, when she went to the temple to give Samuel to Eli, she prayed a prayer and rejoiced. She was not bitter about it. She was excited that her son was going to serve and live for God. 3 John verse 4 says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. That I want to be my testimony as a parent. To when my kids are all grown up, living on their own, living their own lives, doing their own things, I can look over and say, you know what? They're living for God. That's all I could ever ask for. A godly mother will pray for her child that they will grow to love God and follow after Him with their own life. We're going to take a look at some other mothers now, two of them, and see this, that a godly mother teaches her child Scripture. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse number 5, the Bible says, Paul, he's writing to young Timothy, his son in the faith, you could say. And here in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says this, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned," or in other words, the real faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So we see young Timothy, he received his faith from his grandmother as well as his mother. And here we have a beautiful picture of generational spiritual reproduction. It started with the grandmother, went to the daughter, and then went to the grandson. Timothy's grandmother and mother came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior by placing their faith and trust in Him alone for salvation. And just like they were saved, so are we. The formula for salvation is the exact same. Jesus died on a cross in order to pay the debt for our sins. And by believing that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, by placing our faith in Him alone, He died on the cross on that third day, rose again, or died on the cross and on the third day, rose again. By believing that, you can have the same eternal life that is spoken of here in the text. And just like Lois and Eunice, just like they experienced salvation, you can as well, and possibly even teach that faith to the next generation. That's what this is all about. Teaching the faith from one generation to the next. Timothy was set up for success because he had a grandmother who loved God and then passed that love for God onto her child, Timothy's mom. Now, how did that process happen? Was it just kind of, well, it's in the genes. I'm a Christian, so you're a Christian, and all of our descendants from here on out will be Christian. It's just how it happens. Is it like a nationality type identity? No, not at all. This process happened through the study and the application of the Scriptures. If you were to look at chapter 3, verse 15 of 2 Timothy, it makes this very clear regarding Timothy. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ," which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy's grandmother and mother diligently taught him the Scriptures. So why is Scripture so important? Well, we just saw how that it is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, but why else? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Wow, Scripture's pretty powerful. We'll look at Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." We've already discussed how we can speak to God, and that is through prayer. Hannah, she poured out her soul before the Lord through prayer. Now, reading and understanding and applying the Scripture is how God has chosen to speak to us. God, I feel like God never talks to me. I feel like I'm just talking to a brick wall anytime I pray. Well, have you opened your Bible recently and looked into it to see what God might have for you? If you haven't, I strongly recommend. I urge you, take your Bible. Don't just read it, but read to understand. Ask yourself, God, what are you trying to teach me in this portion of Scripture that I'm reading? What is there that I can learn about you? What is there that you can teach me about myself, and how can I see Christ in this? Approach your Bible reading with understanding and not just a check off the box. Read my Bible today. It's really easy to do, to go through the routine, but it takes some self-discipline, to really purpose, to sit down and look at your Bible and see, God, what do you want me to learn? What do you want to say to me today? To increase your faith, to walk closer to the Lord and to love Him more, you've got to read your Bible. Now, another point worth noting here is how Eunice did not allow the fact that her husband was not a believer to hinder her from passing her faith along to her son. Now, I have absolutely zero doubt whatsoever that she loved her husband. I have no reason to think otherwise. I believe she loved her husband. I believe she prayed for him. And I even believe she obediently submitted to his leadership. But I also know that when it came to the things of God, Eunice did not hesitate to pass them along to her son, Timothy. What God gives us here in verse number 5 is a beautiful picture of a godly wife and mother. In the absence of spiritual leadership on the part of the man, it is up to the woman to fill in the gap. Now, Timothy's father should have been the one, biblically speaking, leading and directing his son's spiritual life. But he was an unbeliever, so he wasn't there filling that role. And since Timothy's mother was a believer, this fact that the husband should have that role did not give her a free pass, you could say, to not step up and teach her son about the scriptures. Now, there are families here today that I know can relate to this very situation. The wife is a believer, but the husband is not. Just like in the military, you follow the chain of command. Whenever you're in battle and the leader is taken out or he's disabled, what happens? We all run around like chickens with our heads cut off and don't know what to do. No, the next person in that chain of command steps up and takes the lead. When a husband declines to lead spiritually, either because he himself is an unbeliever, or perhaps even worse, he is unwilling to fulfill his biblical role, it becomes the wife's responsibility to step up and see that her children are taught the things of God. There's too much at stake, mothers, to not understand this truth. We're talking about the souls of your children. So don't let the fact that if you have an unbelieving husband, don't let that keep you from teaching your children about the faith. This doesn't mean the wife loves her husband anything or any less. But again, the fact that the souls of her children are at stake demands that she take action when the real leader is not present. We see that God rewarded Timothy's mom by using him in such a mighty way. His mom's reward for her faithfulness was that God used her son in a tremendous way. Now, moms, God may not use your child like he did with Timothy. Not everybody's a Timothy. But if you labor to raise your children to love God and the things of God, he will honor your sacrifice of labor and hard work. We see it right here in our text. So if this is your situation, I want you to take courage and continue to model obedience to the Lord in your own life. Let your life be a testimony to your children. As long as there is life in your body, it is never too late to start living for the Lord. I really hope you understand that truth here this morning. You could be, pastor, you know, it's great and all, but I've been living a wicked life for 50 years. Okay. You still breathing? Yeah? Good. Start living for God now. Change it. You don't have to keep going down the same path. If I'm going down this path and I keep hitting a brick wall, and I've been doing that for 50 years, all I have to do is turn around and go a different direction. Why would I keep hitting the wall when all I have to do is literally just stop hitting the wall? If you've been living for yourself, not living for God for however many years, it is not too late to stop that and to start living for God. Do not let your past define your future. You cannot change your past, but you can learn from your past and change your future from the knowledge that you gain. It is never too late to start living for God.
Amen.
Consider Lois, Eunice's mother. The faith in Timothy's mother was instilled in her by her own mother. Lois, again, she's Timothy's grandmother, was most likely the first one converted to Christianity. She then used the scriptures to point her daughter to Christ. We don't know how old she was when she converted, when she became a believer, but I don't think she was middle-aged. I think she was getting up there. I think Timothy was probably already in the picture or pretty close to it. These two women were instrumental in the instruction and upbringing of young Timothy into the faith. I wonder if we ever would have heard of Timothy had not his grandmother acknowledged her need for a Savior. Now, if you have adult children and even adult grandchildren, don't think that it is too late for you to have an impact for Christ on their life. Start living for God now. Have those difficult conversations if you need to. Son, grandson, you know, I haven't always been the best example. But you know, God taught me something. He taught me that even though I'm not perfect, He still loves me. And that impacted me in such a mighty way. I want to apologize for all the ways I've let you down over the years. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want to start doing right. And so I hope you can forgive me. But I want you to know that I've given my life to God. And this is the best decision I've ever made. And I hope it's a decision that you will make too someday. Sometimes you just need to have that difficult conversation. Timothy was the man of God that he was, in part due to his grandmother's investment into his life. Grandmothers, great-grandmothers, be involved in your grandkids' lives. You have a wonderful impact. It's never too late to start praying for your children and grandchildren. It's never too late to point them to Christ. And this brings us back to Proverbs chapter 31. Living for God. A godly mother is always appreciated. I love verse 30. It seems to sum it all up the best. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Though not always in this life, God rewards those who faithfully serve Him. So I'd like to close the message here this morning by reading a poem. After I finish the poem, I'll pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation where you'll have opportunity to respond to however the Lord might be dealing with you. And so, tell you what, Brother Grace, Miss Diane, if y'all want to start getting ready, and I'll read this poem, and then I'll pray, and we'll have our time of invitation immediately after that. Godly Mothers by Margaret Cagle. Who taught us to love God and each other? Many of us can say it was our mother. The Bible tells us of godly mothers too. Look into the Bible and consider a few. The Virgin Mary lived a long time ago. She gave birth to Jesus when He came below. Among women, she was blessed above others. Truly, she was favored among mothers. When Jesus was dying for our sin, He spoke of His mother to John then, and He left His mother in John's care. He was concerned about her welfare. Paul wrote to young Timothy in a letter saying how Timothy's faith was better, for grandmother Lois and Eunice, his mother, had taught him to love God and one another. Hannah was barren and prayed for a son. God answered her prayer and gave her one. She promised to give Samuel to God one day, so she brought him to the house of God to stay. Every year, as Samuel grew more and more, Hannah made a little coat which he wore. Samuel became a prophet for the Lord. Having a godly son was Hannah's reward. Godly mothers who live for God each day and follow God's plan along the way will rear their children for the Lord. Godly children will be their reward. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the mothers and again the sacrifice that they have made in our lives. Lord, I pray that you bless them extra special this day, but Lord, also for all those who may not fall into the category of mother, Lord, there's a lot here that was learned and that we can see and how the significance of living a godly life and the impact that can have on the younger generation. I pray, Lord, that you help us, each and every one of us, to diligently desire to live for you in every single way and to honor you with our lives. Lord, help us to live for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.